Okay, we are holding on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We're going to do Mem Beis Amud Beis today, but we're holding up the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah discusses putting tavlin into a kli rishon or a kli sheni. Ha'ilfis, you have a large pot, vakadera, another type of pot, a pan or a pot, sheha aviron, that you take from the fire on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos, miru tochin, while it's still boiling, lo yitein letochin tavlin. You, even once Shabbos starts, you're not allowed to put spices into that pot, because a kli rishon, so long as it's still boiling, has the ability to be mevashel, so those spices are going to be cooked by placing them into the kli rishon. Aval, however, nosin hu letocha ka'ara o letocha tamchui. You're allowed to put the spices into a ka'ara or a tamchui, a large plate or something like that, after you remove the tavshil from the original pot and you put it into a plate. That plate is a kli sheni, and therefore you're allowed to put tavlin into that plate. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lakol nosein chutz midavar sheyesh bo chometz v'tzir. You're allowed to put tavlin into anything except for a boiling food that has chometz or has tzir, that has fish brine or vinegar, because those are dvarim charifim, and they will speed up the cooking process or enhance the cooking process, so we'll make it that the tavlin will become cooked. So Yibaylu, the Gemara tries to clarify Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Reisha Ka'i Lekula, is Rabbi Yehuda talking about a case of a Kli Rishon, and he's being Makel, and he's saying, you're even allowed to put tavlin into a Kli Rishon, as long as there's no chometz or tzir, Odilma Asefa Ka'i Lechumra. Or maybe he's going on the case of Kli Sheni, and he's saying, I know you, Tanakama, said you're allowed to put tavlin into any Kli Sheni. Not any kli sheni. If there's chometz or tzir, it's going to be problematic. So tashema. So let's try to figure out what Rabbi Yehuda's shita is. The Brice elaborates. Titania. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lekol ilfasin hu nosein, lekol hakaderos rotchos hu nosein, chutz midavar sheish b'chometz v'tzir. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda is even makel on a kli rishon. He's even makel in a case of a kli rishon, provided that it doesn't have chometz or tzir. Sav Rav Yosef Lemeimar, melech hareu ketavlin, de kli rishon bashla, that Rav Yosef thought that salt has the din of tavlin, and it can get cooked in a kli rishon, or be kli sheni lo bashla, and it cannot get cooked in a kli sheni, and therefore you're only not allowed to put salt into a kli rishon, but you're allowed to put it in a kli sheni. So Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Tani, Tani Rabbi Chia, melech ein no ketavlin. Rabbi Chia taught that salt is not the same as tavlin, it's not the same as spices. Salt gets much more easily cooked. Typically, sheni nami bashla. Salt is what we call kale habishal. It can even get cooked in a kli sheni. O pligad Rav Nachman, dam Rav Nachman, tzricha milcha bishula kibisra detura. For bishul of salt, you need bishul with a lot of heat, like you need to be mevashel basar shor, which is chumrei habishul. So that's pligad Rav Nachman. This brisa that called salt a kale habishul and holds that it will even get cooked in a kli sheni is clearly against Rav Nachman, who thinks that it's chumrei habishul and that it's harder to cook salt than it is to cook anything else. So that's a fundamental machlokes. V'ikadamri, and others say savra Rav Yosef Lemeimar, that the way this conversation went down was that Rav Yosef initially thought to say Melech Hareu Ketavlin, Dibikli Rishon Bashla Bikli Sheni Lo Bashla. The Melech is like Tavlin that can get cooked in a Kli Rishon, but not in a Kli Sheni. And Amalei Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Tani Rav Chia, Melech Ena Ketavlin, Dibikli Rishon Nami Lo Bashla, that it's Chumrei Habishal. Salt doesn't even get cooked in a kli rishon. This price is exactly like Rav Nachman says, that melech is chomrei habishul. It does not easily get cooked at all. So, okay, that is the end of that sugya. So now, beginning with this new Mishnah, until the end of the parak, we're going to go back to discussions of muktza on Shabbos. There are certain things you're not allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos, and that's what we refer to as muktza. because these are generally things that a person has put out of his mind for Shabbos, meaning he has designated to not use over the course of Shabbos. There are several reasons given by Rishonim for the Isur of Muktzah. It is not a malacha. It could be that we don't want a person to do malacha, so had they not asked being metaltel, those kalim with which you do malacha all the time, there's a concern that people would do malacha. It could be a chashash that you're going to actually use these kalim. It could be because there are some people that don't really do much malacha during the week in general, and if you're going to be allow them to be metaltel on Shabbos the same way they are during the week, so it's not going to be a shvisa hani keres. It's not going to be recognizable that they're observing Shabbos at all, because they're lazy bums, don't do anything the whole week, and they don't do anything on Shabbos either. So if they take away their muksa items, then it will be obvious that they're being shoves for the sake of Shabbos. Or it could be that it's a gedder for the Isra of Hotza'ah, that if you're allowed to be metaltel too many things, you might come to carry them outside. But there are six different categories of muksa. There's what's called muksa machmas cheson kis, a kli that you're makbid to only use it for its designated purpose, but because you don't want it to get ruined, you won't use it for anything else. There's a kli shamalach del Isra, something that you generally use only to do malacha with. There's muktzah machmas gufo, something that it's not a kli at all, and it's not food, it's just like rocks or dirt or animals or a dead body. There's basus l'davra asr, a kli that's a malachta l'heter, but during Bein HaShemashos a muktzah item was on that kli, so something that's muktzah machmas gufo was on that kli. So even though right now nothing's on it, but if Bein HaShemashos something was, it became a basis l'davar aser. And then there's something that was mechuber l'karka or is mechuser tzeda when Shabbos started. And then there's muktzah machmas mitzvah, something that was usher to use when Shabbos began because it was designated for its mitzvah purpose, like nois sukkah, decorations of a sukkah. So there's a machlokas tanaim when it comes to muktzah. Some of them were more machmir, and some of them were more mekel. The most famous shitos when it comes to Hilchos Muktzah are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda is the most machmir in Hilchos Muktzah. He holds that you're not allowed to be metaltel anything that you hadn't designated or that you were masiach das from before Shabbos started, even if you knew that it would be muchan throughout the course of Shabbos. And he even answers things that are muchan be'erev Shabbos, so you're masiach das from using this Shabbos. Like if you were machnis your peros for storage, so you didn't plan on using them this Shabbos, he would hold that smuksa. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He holds that anything that's going to become muchan through the course of this Shabbos, or any food, even if you're masiach das from it, you're allowed to be metaltel it when it becomes muchan. But something that's not roi for anything on Erev Shabbos, meaning something that's muksa machmas gufo, you're not allowed to be metaltel even if through the course of Shabbos somehow it loses that muksa status, because Rabbi Shimon is moda that something that's muksa machmas gufo when Shabbos begins becomes usher for the entire Shabbos. Now, with that background, let's begin the halachas of muksa. Says the Mishnah, ein nosen kli tachas aner lekabel bos Hashem, you can't put a kli under a candle on Shabbos to catch the oil that's dripping. But if you put it there before Shabbos began, so you're allowed to leave it there, you don't have to remove it. You're not allowed to be nene from the oil that drips from the Shabbos candles, because when Shabbos began, that was not muchan. It was not yet designated for your personal use. It was huksa lahadlaka at that point. So even though we say that you're not allowed to put the chamsa, you're not allowed to put a kli underneath the tarnagolas to catch the egg so that it shouldn't break, aval kofa aleha kli, you're allowed to put a kli over the egg, shelo tishavar, so that the egg would not be damaged from the outside, it shouldn't break. Amar Rabba, my time of Rav Chista, why does Rav Chista make this chiluk and asers being metaltel a kli in order to catch an egg, but allows being metaltel a kli in order to cover an egg? Because sever tarnagolas asuya lahatil beitzasa ba'ashba, that tarnagolas will be matil beitzim in a place that's unprotected, and people will come and break it. Veina asuya lahatil beitzasa b'makom midron, but it's uncommon for tarnagolas to lay an egg in a place that's on a slant. Vahatzala matsuya mitzuya, hitiru, hatzala shena mitzuya lo hitiru. So something that's a more common type of hatzala, where it's in an ashpa, and the concern is that after it lays the egg, someone will break it, so that they were matir to cover it. But if it's hatzala shena mitzuya, why would you need a kli under it to catch it? You're afraid that the second it lays the egg, it's going to go rolling down a hill and smash. Tarnagolas, it's not matzui for a tarnagolas to be matzil beitza on a hill in the first place. So Abaye asks from the Braisa on Shitas Rabba. Isve Abaye, so Abaye asks on Rabba, Va'atzala Shena Mitzuya, lo itiru, did they really not allow Atzala Shena Mitzuya? Va'atanya, but it says in the Braisa, Nishbrlo Chavis Shel Tevel Berosh Gago, if a barrel of Tevel breaks on the top of someone's roof, maybe Kli Maniach Tachteha, person could bring a Kli and put it underneath it to be Makabel, the liquid that's spilling out. So Tevel is Mukta, because you're not allowed to take Shumas Maisos on Shabbos, and the breaking of a barrel is not Matsui, and nevertheless, the Braisa tells us you're allowed to be Metalta Lekli in order to save it. So isn't that against the rule that Rabba just told us? So answers the Gemara, Begulfi Chadati Dishchichi Depaki. No, it is a Hatzala Matsuya, because we're talking about brand new barrels that are very common for them to get smashed. So Esvei Abaye challenges Rabba. It says in the Mishnah Nosin Kli Tachas Haner Mekabel Nitzotzo. So you can put a kli underneath the ner to catch the sparks that come out from the ner. And because you're concerned that if you don't catch those sparks, they're going to start a fire. Now those Nitzotzos are Muktzah. They're not Matzoi. They're not common. And if we're not allowed to be Metaltel Kli for Hatzalah Shein Mitzuya, you should not be allowed to put a kli under a ner to catch the Nitzotzos. So says Gemara, Nitzotzos nami shchichi. Who says that Nitzotzos are not shchiach? They are absolutely shchiach. So Eisvei, the Gemara asks another kasha on Rabba from a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kofin ka'ara al aner shleyach is bekorah. You're allowed to put a plate over a ner so that the fire doesn't light the ceiling. So that's atzala she'ena mitzuya, and you're being metaltel kli for it. So the Gemara answers, no, bebate kichine. We're talking about very low houses where it's very likely that a fire will start, but it's very common that if you leave an unattended candle, it's going to start a fire. Gemara asks, Vayter, we have a Mishnah later on. V'chein korash nishbara, somchnosa besavsel baruch samita. If you have a beam of the roof that breaks, you're allowed to support it using your bed frame or something like that. So according to Rabba, this is a hatzalash eina mutsuya l'chora. So how are you allowed to move your bed for this purpose? And so Gemara, b'kshuri chaditi davidi depaki. No, we're talking about brand new beams that haven't been tried and tested yet, and therefore it's very common for them to break. So Gemara says, "Vayter, there's a mishnah beitza, nosin kli tachsadelef b'Shabbos. You're allowed to put a kli underneath a leak on Shabbos in order that it shouldn't ruin your house and it shouldn't mess up your house." According to Rabba, l'chora there's a davar sheino matzoi to have a leak, and we're still allowing moving a kli in order to be matzil from hatzala sheino matzui. No, it's a new house. It's very common in new homes that haven't been tested yet for leaks that a leak will appear in a new home. So we will stop there. And Bez Hashem, next time on Mem Gimel Amar Aleph, we'll pick up with Rav Yosef Amar. So we'll stop right there for today.